Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and today I'm super excited to have my good friend, Brandon, all the way from San Francisco, coming up to beautiful, sunshiny Seattle. How's it going, Brandon?
Oh, it's great. Thanks for having me, James.
Yeah, I'm super excited because you wanted to come on and talk about a whole bunch of Azure goodness, and specifically around Cosmos DB for scalable backends. And we've done a previous episode on DocumentDB, and kind of the nice thing now, Cosmos DB is like this new shiny toy that I know literally nothing about at all. I know a little bit. So maybe first, before we get into Cosmos, maybe you can tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thanks, James. Yeah. So yeah, my name is Brandon Minnick. Actually, James and I go way back to the old Xamarin days. We both joined Microsoft after the Xamarin acquisition, and so as you can see, we've both stayed on. I'm still with Microsoft. I'm working as a cloud developer advocate. And so if you see me around, ask me questions. I love talking with developers. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brandon Xamarin. And yeah, just join the conversation. Love to hear more.
Yeah, it was always fun because I got to work with Brandon over the years, and he always got to make these really cool like apps that like got to use all these cool technologies. I'm building like the Evolve app, where you're like, check out this and like this, and it's always fun to see what you're working on. So yeah, welcome to the kind of advocate team, which is super cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
So maybe first we can start off with, what is Cosmos DB? Like, some people may know what DocumentDB is, but what is Cosmos DB?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So Cosmos DB, it's a really brand new, crazy thing that we're doing in Azure now. It's a database, so it's a remote database in the cloud. You can store all your data in there. Okay, great, but so are a bunch of other databases. What makes Cosmos so special is this thing called global scale. And so with basically a click of the button, we can replicate our data in any database or any Azure data warehouse around the world. So our data is just there. We can have our users in Australia have the same performance as our users in California and the UK. It's really incredible, and as a developer, it's super easy to do. And I'll say I'm not an expert on NoSQL. I definitely grew up in the SQL days, but it was super easy to get started with Cosmos and DocumentDB. We'll show it off in the portal, click of a mouse, push my data all around the world.
That makes sense. So that's really strong because I'm used to kind of spinning up, like, oh, I have my website or I have my SQL Azure, and I'm deploying it into a region.
Right.
And then the problem is, let's say all of a sudden my app gets really popular in Europe.
Yep.
So how do I get my data from here to here? So you're saying that Cosmos DB, what type of databases does it have? Is it a SQL database, or how are you? What is going into Cosmos DB?
Yeah, good question. So with Cosmos, the secret sauce is the fact that it's all kind of NoSQL under the hood. Now, like I mentioned, I'm not a NoSQL expert.
Yeah.
And so what's really nice is I work with DocumentDB, which lets me use all my SQL commands. We'll show off the SDK that you just add to your Xamarin app. Makes it super easy to do all your CRUD operations. And yeah, if you're familiar with Graph, MongoDB, there's even table storage you can use for Cosmos. So yeah, when you're setting up your Cosmos DB instance, you just select one of those from the dropdown, and you're good to go.
So you're saying I could even, if I'm used to SQL, then Cosmos DB has like querying languages
on top exactly.
of it? Okay, got it.
Yeah, so basically think of DocumentDB, it's a NoSQL database, but it's kind of wrapped in this shell where you can still make your familiar SQL commands. We'll see, I've got some link queries going on in our Xamarin code here.
Okay.
And so for me, it was really nice because I can take advantage of NoSQL, which gives us that scalability, but still be familiar with all the features I know and love from SQL.
Yeah. So when would you say you would want to use Cosmos DB over something else, like creating a RESTful service? Because usually I'm thinking, all right, I got to create an app. So I got to go create a SQL database. I got to create an ASP.NET website. I got to create a RESTful API on top of it. Like, what do I have to do in the world of Cosmos, I guess? Like, why would I choose Cosmos compared to what I just said?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I think there's basically three things that I want to hit on today. We've kind of talked about scalability a little bit. So there's the global scale aspect where I click the mouse, my database automatically lives in Australia and California now. Easy. Also, user scale, so load, right?
Yeah.
Like James mentioned, as our users use our app more and more, they're hitting the back end more and more, we need to make sure that they still have the great experience that we always started with.
Yeah, you want it to be super crazy fast, basically.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so scalability, but there's also security.
Okay.
And then, you know, you mentioned RESTful services, APIs. You don't really need an API with Cosmos. And that's one of the cool things, too. So, yeah, if you're starting out and you're thinking, do I go with just an Azure SQL database? Do I go with a Cosmos DB? Some of the things you want to think about is, do you have somebody to build and maintain that API? Mm. Same with security. So one of the cool things about Cosmos is all the data at rest is automatically encrypted in the Cosmos backend.
Oh, that's nice. So I mean, you're probably then communicating, it's going to communicate over HTTPS. It's all going to be encrypted and secure. But you
exactly.
just get your data, basically.
Yeah.
You have your data.
Yeah, so good. Exactly. Azure forces you to use HTTPS, TLS, so data in transit's encrypted. Mm. Even though we aren't encrypting our data.
So you don't even have to think about the security then. It's kind of like one of the perks, right? Because when I'm thinking, like, yeah, all right, like, did I set up correct HTTP, like force HTTPS, and like, am I, you know, worrying about that security? What happens if there's a breach in the security layer or something like that? So it handles it for you.
Yeah, you're good to go. And okay. The only thing we want to remember is if we are going to store any data locally on the device that is sensitive, we need to make sure we encrypt that ourselves.
Mm.
But Cosmos on the back end takes care of everything for us.
Okay, cool. Well, let's see it. Where would I get started, I guess, with Cosmos?
Sure. So what we have here is this is just the kind of introduction to Cosmos DB page here. And it kind of goes through everything we just talked about. So on the left, there's all the different formats we can use. So SQL, this is actually DocumentDB. That's what we'll be showing off today. But if you're familiar with MongoDB, Graph, this is actually using Gremlin under the hood. You can do that. If you're familiar with Cassandra or table storage, you can use those too and take advantage of the security, the global scale, and the fact that you don't need or necessarily need an API.
Yeah, so this is kind of just like how do you want to access it, like the type of storage. And I see here you can kind of access it with anything, right? So whether you have Java developers or .NET developers or Python developers, you can reach no matter what.
Totally.
Yeah, but obviously we're Xamarin developers, Xamarin. So we care about, we're kind of accessing this data from our mobile devices is what we care about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have something we've been talking about. You don't really need an API.
Okay.
Do you happen to know why?
No. Well, I mean, I think so, that's probably one of the struggles, I think, right, is that I'm so used to it is SQL or it is an API, and that's what I'm used to. So it's kind of that first time when I went from WinForms to XAML, and it was kind of like decoupling my mind from specific coordinates, right? It's probably the same thing. It's like, I need an API, but maybe I don't.
All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Pop quiz. Why do you need an API if you have a SQL database on your back end, or traditionally?
Yeah, well, traditionally, it's because you never want to make a direct connection to the database for, one, security protocols, but also because you probably want to run some logic to run the query, right? You're not ever want to connect, and it's expensive to make that connection to the SQL database, and also because you need to, like, get this user account and do authentication from there.
Totally.
That's my thoughts, at least.
Yeah, and I would even add to that, too, just the internet connection on our phone's not good.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to worry about 3G, LTE, Wi-Fi. You're driving in the car, and you hit a dead spot. So what could happen is if your phone's connected directly to the database, which you shouldn't do, it makes that database command. Maybe only half of that command gets through to the back end before you drive through a tunnel. Well, the database is going to execute it, and you might have corrupt data, or even worse, you might have a corrupt database, and you got to start over. So, right, usually what you'll do is send that command to the API, let the API kind of translate it, and because that API is also on the back end, it's in a server that's always plugged in with an internet connection, we hope, and let that handle the command and send kind of the OK or yes, no back to the device. So what's cool with Cosmos, there's this thing called a triple handshake.
Okay.
So the scenario we're talking about, if we connect directly to an Azure SQL database, maybe half that command goes through and it's just going to execute it. Well, with Cosmos, what's going to happen is we send the command, Cosmos gets the command, sends a confirmation back to the device, so in our case, phone or tablet, and then the phone responds back and says, yes, I confirm that confirmation.
Oh, interesting.
And
okay.
So, yeah, if I happen to go through a tunnel halfway through that first command, it'll never execute in the database, so we never have to worry about that corruption.
So it's kind of like you have that nice additional like warm blanket that you're like cozying up in. You're like, all right,
totally.
Not only do I have that blanket, but it's also a heated blanket, and that's a bonus because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I'll just get it for free.
All right. So how do I get it in my app? So here's my quick starts. How do I do it?
Yeah, let's check this out in the code. So what I have here is, very simple Xamarin Forms app. This is just a list of contacts. So shout out to my dog, Kirby. He's turning four this year. I'll have to update the demo. But yeah, I can add a new contact, but that's it. But all this data is stored in Cosmos DB on the back end. So if we check out, so this is a shared project. That's why you don't see any NuGet packages up there. But really, all I did down here in my Android project, I added the DocumentDB core SDK, and likewise in iOS.
And so that's just a single .NET NuGet package that you bring in. And is it called DocumentDB because it's like a legacy package from DocumentDB days, or is there a separate one for each of them? Or this is just what they tell you to install?
That's a good question. This is what they told me to install, so I ran with it.
So this is your package. Okay. So what does that package do then?
Yeah, so this brings in, so we've got our Microsoft.Azure.Documents, and it basically handles everything for us. So this is really cool. This is what I love about this SDK, is I have a file here with some constants in it, and this code is all up on GitHub, by the way. We'll make sure we add it to the show notes so anybody watching can download it, play around with it. Mm-hmm. The only caveat I did was you'll need to create your own instance if you want to do any writes.
Oh, so you have different keys for read-only and then read-write-only. So that way you could say, hey, this part of the document or instance or whatever is only read-only. So then you never have to worry about someone making an attack because it's your read-only key.
Yep. And that was my thoughts exactly is, you know, if I'm going to put this on GitHub, I love making samples, love sharing code like we talked about earlier. But, you know, do I really want somebody writing into my database? Maybe they can spam it. So.
Got it.
So all I have is, this is the URL that I get from Azure. So like we're looking at here, HTTPS, encrypted, TLS, we're good to go. I plugged in my read-only primary key for anybody to use. And then here in this DocumentDB service, this is where we just take advantage of this SDK and these API keys that we have here. And so I have a bunch of just generic methods here, like all the crud. Mm-hmm. Get, update, delete, create. So this one's called get. And this right here, read document async. So read-only client, that's our DocumentDB client.
Okay.
This is the one I've passed in my read-only API key. And all I say is read document async. So I just tell it the type, and then I pass in the ID of the document I want to get. So if you're familiar with SQL, you can kind of think of a document as kind of a row in your table. It's kind of an entry in your database.
So is this going to say, give me all of my people then? Is that what it's doing? Or is that saying, give me a specific person?
Good question. So this one's just for one.
Okay.
I've got another one up here, get all.
Got it.
That'll bring them all back. But yeah, feel free to check this out. But we've got update down here. And again, one line of code, replace document async. Create, one line of code, create document async.
So it's going to create a person record then.
Yeah.
That's what that does here. And it's all asynchronous, which I'm used to. So what is the document collection URI, and then what is a document? I see you're passing in a document. Is that the person model that you're passing in then? Like, what does that look like from the view model?
Yeah, good question. So let's check that out.
Because these are nice helper methods, right? But really what I'm probably calling is into here.
Yep.
Got it.
So So yeah, that is our person model.
Oh. And so you don't have to create like a special Cosmos DB document thing, you're just giving it the person.
Totally.
Oh, okay.
And it just kind of works, which is pretty cool. So if I go into my person model here, there's really the only thing special going on is I created, just to make casting easier, this explicit operator that'll take a document and now I can cast it to a person model.
Oh, okay, got it.
So this is kind of the only weird thing going on, but even this Cosmos DB model class I made.
Okay.
There's nothing in here that extends the document class. It just works, which is really nice.
Okay, so there's some properties here for a collection and database identifier that you're giving it.
Yep.
So that person thing inside of Cosmos knows where to live, basically, right?
Is that exactly. What and we'll see that in the portal later. We'll pull it up, and you kind of see the structure of what the database looks like, what the collections look like, and the documents inside the collection. And so, yeah, these static strings here just kind of tell it where to go, where to live on the back end.
Yeah. Now, the question I guess I have at this point would be, what if I want to update my person and add a new property? Maybe you want to say, is it an animal or is it a person, right? Because you have some dogs in there. So since it's NoSQL, is that just handled automatically for you, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a nice thing with NoSQL. So all the database on the back end, and tell you what, this is a good transition. Let's pull this up. Refresh our Azure session. There we go.
So inside of Azure, you've created a document or a Cosmos DB instance then? Is that what you've done?
Yep, we've got a Cosmos DB instance. And one of the things I like about the Azure portal is it lets you also view all the data. You don't necessarily have to use any tools. Like maybe we'll use SQL Server Management Studio to check out our SQL Server. So in the Azure portal, I'm in I called it my Cosmos Hack document, Cosmos DB.
Excuse me. I always thought it was Cosmo Shack. Like a shack for your data. I like that.
Okay. I like that too. Yep. So yeah, here's that collection. So if we kind of compare these two side by side.
Oh, I see. Got it. So
there
this is the app database, which is this document, and the document has the stuff in it.
Yeah, exactly. So Cosmos DB sample app database, Cosmos DB sample app database. And inside is this collection of person models, which is my collection ID. So I kind of cheated. I just said type of t.name. Lets me keep it generic and kind of reuse this code over and over.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, right, we were talking about everything stored flat in JSON. So let's check this out. So here's Kirby again. And what James is asking is maybe you want to add another property.
Yeah.
It just works. So if I go to my model and I add another property to say dog, it'll add that in here.
Oh, okay.
And what happens when the DocumentDB client pulls down the data, it'll automatically do that conversion from whatever JSON data gets back to our C# class object.
Got it. And then it'll probably just pull down the default. So like if you didn't have isDog, right, of a Boolean, it was a false, right? So maybe you want to put some logic into your app when adding new stuff, just like I would normally do.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah, maybe make it nullable or something. Yeah. All right, cool. So you can actually just go in here. That's actually really nice because I'm used to pulling down all the different management studios, stuff like that. So you can just browse all your data. Super simple.
Yeah, it's really nice. And even, you know, like I said, Kirby's turning 4 this year. Let's update that live.
Okay.
I'll click update. And when I do a pull to refresh here, now Kirby's 4.
Oh, nice.
How cool is that?
So super fast. You just made the connection, pulled it down, and returned immediately.
Super simple.
Yeah. And that was just in that one call to say get all, give me everything, right?
Yep.
Nice. And there's no web server. You don't have to spin up a web server, right? You're just connecting directly to this data.
Totally.
Interesting. All right, cool. I like that.
Thanks. And so, yeah, while we're in here, let's check out this replicate data globally. So how about another pop quiz? How fast can data travel?
I mean, it depends how fast your internet speed is.
Good answer. Yeah. So, yeah, the theoretical limit is just the speed of light. Mm. But as we all know, data has to go through fiber optic cables and servers and Ethernet and Wi-Fi. So yeah, we never see the speed of light. And so when I was doing some tests with my Cosmos DB instance, I found that if I was in Australia and my data lived in the west coast of the US, it took about 300 milliseconds, which, okay, not too bad.
Yeah.
But compare that to the data that lives on the west coast and a user on the west coast of the US, about 30 milliseconds.
Okay, yeah.
So it's taking 10 times longer to go across the ocean and back. And so now all my users in Australia are getting this really slow performance.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Now I'm going to start getting 1-star reviews in the App Store because this app takes forever to load.
Yeah.
And so what's neat is we can just come in here and let's refresh this page. And basically with a click of the mouse, I'll be able to select a new data center. There we go.
Okay, so here's all the different regions. Got it, okay.
Yeah, so these are all the Azure data centers around the world. And we've been talking a lot about Australia. So check this out. If I just click Australia East, save, that's it.
Done.
Yeah, Azure's off and running in a couple minutes. All my data will be replicated to that data center in Australia.
Very cool.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And again, I'm no SQL expert. I don't know how to replicate NoSQL databases. It just does it for me. It just works. It's amazing.
That makes sense. And I see here, and how it seems like it's working, you have a write region, and then everything else is a read region. So that way, you're still doing all your writes, but then all the data is replicated automatically. I like that.
Totally.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Definitely one of my favorite things. And probably the other thing, you know, we were talking earlier about why would you want to use Cosmos? There's all these awesome features. We kind of went over the why. But what about pricing, right? It's probably got to be insanely expensive to get all this stuff.
Yeah.
So for this sample app here, obviously we can scale it up, scale it down, just like all of our other Azure toys that we know and love.
Yeah.
And so right now I'm on the lowest throughput right here, 77 cents a day.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
Yeah, cheaper than a cup of coffee. Yeah. So you get scalability from user scale, global scale, you get security, you don't need to use an API anymore. 77 cents a day, not too bad.
Yeah, it's super great. Yeah. And then for security, would you just use your standard like login mechanisms? Like what does it support? Like as far as like, oh, I want to log in with Facebook.
That's a good question. I actually don't know off the top of my head, but I tell you what, maybe we do another episode on that.
There you go, on authentication into it. Yeah, I'm assuming it'll probably take in some authentication tokens and then probably some table per user type ID, right? Would be your standard stuff. And there's, yeah, I see you have some stored procedures, user defined, and trigger. So you can then, I guess, use like Azure Functions and trigger that off of Cosmos DB and then kind of tie everything together.
Oh, yeah. Azure Functions with Cosmos DB, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
If you haven't used Azure Functions, you can add in these triggers. So if I add data to my Cosmos DB, it'll automatically trigger my function and run something.
Oh, that's cool.
It's amazing. And so you don't need to put it on a timer to keep checking the database. You don't need to do anything with it. It'll just automatically run.
That's cool.
And then when it's done, you can even have it automatically write back to the database.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, just incredible what you can do with functions.
So basically, Cosmos DB, super scalable, super secure, super easy to get up and running database to just grab anything, pull it all down, all your data.
Super awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Brandon, for,
thanks
for
so much,
coming
James.
On, kind of giving us a nice little guided tour getting up and running with Cosmos DB. Brandon will give me all the links and everything that we showed here, including the source code. So check out the show notes below.
That's
Brandon,
right.
Thanks for coming on the Xamarin Show.
Great. Thanks, James.
Yeah. Well, awesome. This has been yet another episode of the Xamarin Show. Make sure you subscribe. Hit that button over there, down there, wherever it is. Ding that bell. Subscribe so you get the latest and greatest Xamarin Shows right in your inbox each and every week. So until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and thanks for watching.